Radio on your smart speaker and on the ABC Listen app.
ABC Listen app.
This is ABC Radio South Australia with Angela Coe.
You've been hearing a lot about what's going on in Alice Springs and across regional South Australia. There are a few towns that have had are dealing with antisocial behaviour due to alcoholism and violence, people not having spots to safe spaces to live. We'll talk a little more with someone who's worked in this area for many years and as a way of trying to empower communities to help their own people. And we'll speak more about why he thinks that some of the things that are going on in Alice Springs are the result of people being the victim, the people who are creating this being the victim of lots of violence and things across generations. Rick Springfield for you now with Jessie's Girl. It's 18 past 10 on your Monday morning. Rick Springfield, Jessie's Girl, 21 past 10. Antisocial behaviour by Aboriginal people has been experienced in towns like Ceduna, where the cashless welfare card was trialled, Port Augusta, where a community task force has been set up, and in Alice Springs, there's a huge problem, and the people of that town are looking for answers. And the question has to be asked, and I'm sure there would be many different answers, views and facts on this. Why is this happening? So today, a perspective from someone who's been working in Arnhem Land for over 50 years, who says the children committing these crimes are the victims. Richard Trudgeon is Managing Director of Why Warriors, an organisation that was set up to support locally driven projects and help improve life on the lands. Good morning, Richard.
Morning, Angela.
Now, from what I understand, you say that there are three main underlying problems to why this is happening. Can you start by explaining what you think structural violence is and why that's playing a part?
Yeah, Angela, it's a big subject, but let's go into it. The first thing that I talk about is, I call it these days inherent structural violence. It's a relationship that developed at the beginning of the early colony between the early settlers and the first people around Port Jackson. That relationship created a structural violence that's still in place today that gets handed on from generation to generation. Now, it's not done consciously. It's a subconscious thing of how we look at that other cultural group over there, how we name it, how we consider it operates and all those things, the people, its culture and everything else. And usually, over the 200 years, derogatory terms have been always applied against Aboriginal culture. You know, it's pagan, it's primitive, it's backwards and da-da-da-da. So their language, their culture, their everything is put into this relationship, which I've called now inherent structural violent relationship, which now affects the decisions of everything that is made in relation to dealing with what we see as the Aboriginal problem.
And then how does that then link to the other topics that you think are creating some of this antisocial behaviour, the intergenerational transfer of trauma?
Well, see, if you've got a relationship that's out of whack, then you get this intergenerational transfer of trauma. So the original people, if you go back into our history of, 200 years of history, first policy was like annihilation, just clear the country of Aboriginal people so that farmers could take up the land and so forth. And then we went to forced assimilation where people were locked up in missions and settlements and so forth. That created massive trauma with those people who had to live through that from generation to generation. And that trauma gets transferred forward in the same way as it does with returning vets or from Vietnam and all that. And where it's clearly seen that that trauma goes on then to their children, who have higher levels of suicide and self-harming than the veterans themselves. So that's that intergenerational transfer of trauma that's passed on and never has been dealt with in any Aboriginal group across Australia.
How can that repair happen?
Well, that repair happens by dealing with the next level, what I see is the underlying factor, which is also an intergenerational transfer of confusion. So when you get this trauma being passed forward, and you get also those same people are trying to understand, why are we being treated this way? How does this new culture that turned up in Australia with those boat people way back then, you know, that British culture, basically English speaking British culture, why are they doing this to us? How is this happening? How does their systems operate? How does their social structure operate? How does their economics operate? Because the traditional economics and governance structures and laws, the original Australian systems, have been wiped away, not understood. You know, some of them still exist here in Arnhem Land, but they're being destroyed every day because of this, in a sense, this inherent structural violence that says, oh, it's not worth knowing about, it's not worth living, it's not worth understanding their languages and their laws and all that sort of stuff. They're all primitive and backwards. And so you get then a transfer of confusion. The original people are confused, and then what happens is the younger generations try to understand from their parents their carers, how does the world work? And their parents or carers say, I don't know, I'm struggling all my life to understand. And so that gets transferred forward also. One young lady in Arnhem Land, when I was discussing it with her in her language, was talking about the confusion in her lifetime, which was passed on, as she said, was passed on by my parents to me, because they couldn't understand how the world worked, the economics, the law, the health, all those big issues. And she said it's like strangling vines of confusion. It's like, she said, it's like those vines in a billabong when we walk into it and the vines try to entrap us. And they grab our legs or our hands. But those vines, we can untangle ourselves from it. But these strangling vines of confusion that entrap us in understanding the mainstream culture, we can't deal with. We don't even know what they are. We can't see them. We can't touch them. These are the things that are driving all these the youth violence that we're seeing across Australia. It's been here for 200 years. Nothing new. Look at Uncle Jack Charles, who just passed away. You know, his lifetime. Just go back in his life. It's right across Australia. Yep.
So how does what you're saying here escalate to what is happening in Alice Springs at the moment?
Well, Alice Springs, as I say, it's happening right across the country. Mm. But Alice Springs now, it's now come to the last frontier. Hello, wake up. we've been talking about it for decades now. And it's come to the last frontier because these people are just acting out. These young people, usually when they turn from they turn from children into adulthood around their, you know, puberty, and all of a sudden they go, whoa, have I been born on the wrong side of this English culture? Have I been, because who I am as an Aboriginal person, been locked out of it? And so they don't understand where money's coming from. They think the government can just print money and everything else, and that if you're in the system, you can just get all these dollars. You know, it seems to flow. And it's flowed worse since the intervention, you know, just massive amounts of money, and a lot of mainstream companies, Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal, have become so rich out of it. But these people I'm talking about are not in that system. They're not locked into that. They are locked out of it because of the language they speak. And you know, strangely enough, I say over and over again, in 200 years, no government has produced an English learning program for any Aboriginal language in Australia. Now, to me, that's just absolutely criminal. So we have actively locked them out due to this inherent structural violence that operates or exists between the two cultures. It's a big subject, but that's basically where we're at, Angela.
It
affects people like your people down there in South Australia.
Yeah.
Been down there in workshops and seeing the same things.
That's the thing. It isn't just in one particular spot. We do have some type of these issues across most of our bigger cities. Richard,
yep.
If somebody wanted to read and understand a little more of your perspective on this, how could they do that?
Well, you can go to our website, whywarriors.com.au. That's whywarriors.com.au. And there's stuff on there. I'm struggling flat out now to write this new subject up. I've been writing it for years, but all of a sudden trying to get it ready. Mm. So it might not be the latest that's up on the website, but it'll be the latest by the end of the week. There's a lot of stuff on there. We've got 90 videos on there that answers a whole lot of questions, free videos that answers a whole lot of questions about Aboriginal culture, why this is not working, why that's not working, and so on. Things that I've been asked over and over again in workshops and seminars all over the country. I decided when I got to 72 years of age, I am now going to answer these questions and put it out there, because we've got to break down this structural violence, or this inherent structural violence. And the only way to do that is to illuminate it, to show it to people, to show, well, there is another side to this problem or to the questions or the situation we look at. There's a completely different side, one we've never heard of before. And so it's like a new adventure in understanding what we call the relationship, the human dynamic relationship between two cultural groups.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You don't always have to have the answers, but understanding is really important. So
understanding is number one.
Yeah. I think I'll go and do a little bit of a self-improvement by watching those videos as well. Thanks for chatting with me today, Richard.
No worries, Angela. Thanks very much.
Richard Trudgeon is the Managing Director of Why Warriors, an organisation that was set up to support some programs in Arnhem Land and has been right around the country delivering workshops, as you've just heard there. It's 22 minutes to 11. Going to try and get a hole in one after in a few minutes' time, and later a insight into a program that is working really well in the community of Murray Bridge for their young people.